You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we return here with another Thursday episode. And during this Thursday episode, you know the drill. It is our fan mailbag episode. Now, I'm going to drop the ball a little bit here on this one. I sent out my tweet like I said I did in yesterday's show, but apparently I actually didn't send out the tweet. It failed to send. And, you know, as my mom would say, it's a big fail, an epic fail on my part. So I sent it out when I realized that I wasn't getting any responses. I'm like, it's a little weird. So I looked at it, and sure enough, it was not sent. So I got a few good responses, though. We have our main man, Roberts B., with a good question. Then Dylan, who's becoming a regular contributor here as well to the show, with another good question. So only two today, but we can break those down and really, really talk about them. I'm really happy that we got some nice questions. And then in the second and third segments, I want to talk about a few interviews that happened yesterday with two Ravens receivers, one with Hollywood Brown and another with Willie Snead. So we'll talk about Willie Snead in the second segment and Hollywood Brown in the final segment. And then these are interviews I also want to get into with Matt on this show tomorrow because they had a lot of good stuff to say. So we'll do fan mailbag in the first segment here, and then we will talk about Willie Snead and Marquise Brown's interviews with the Baltimore media. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here on Locked On Ravens. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Anywhere there is a podcast, we are there waiting for you Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So all that being said, let's jump right in here and we'll start off with a question from our man Roberts B. And Roberts B. Epi the Dot asks, is it a possibility that Marquise Brown actually leads the NFL in receiving yards, touchdowns, or receptions? And this is a really good question because Marquise Brown, as we'll talk about in the third segment, has really put on some good weight in the form of muscle. He's going to be a lot more physical at the point of attack. I think a lot more contested catches are coming his way. But just another year of being an NFL player, right? Rookie years for people, they can sometimes be a little bit intimidating, a little bit, you know, tough to adjust to because the speed of the NFL game is so, so much different than college football. So you saw that with Miles Boykin a bit, right? Great preseason for Boykin, and then all of a sudden the regular season comes around and, all of a sudden there was this lack of chemistry and things just weren't going the way that Boykin had hoped. But Marquise Brown had a very, very good 2019 season for the Baltimore Ravens. And I think that's part of why I think that Brown is going to be so special in year two. Now, is it a possibility that he leads the NFL in receiving yards, touchdowns, or receptions? I don't think I would go that far, and let me explain why. The Ravens' offense is very, very run-centric. Hollywood Brown, as we'll talk about, he wants to go out there and he wants to block people. His role on this team, he's okay with anything. He's okay with his role being anything for this Baltimore Ravens team. But what you have to look at is the receivers over the years in the Baltimore offense. It's not an offense that favors receivers. It's an offense that heavily favors tight ends, heavily favors running backs. And receivers will get catches, they'll get yards, they'll get scores. But even like when we saw Anquan Boldin's best years, or even when we saw Derek Mason's best years, they weren't over the top, you know, leading the NFL in receptions or yards or touchdowns. Now, Marquise Brown is going to be a very good player in year two. There's no question about that. But actually leading the NFL in receiving yards, touchdowns, or receptions, well, let's first talk about receiving yards. If the Ravens are up big, if they're up by a lot of points in games, they're not going to keep Hollywood Brown in the game, and they're probably not going to be throwing the football at that in games that probably Lamar Jackson and this Ravens rushing offense, talk about Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, that part of the offense is probably going to have more carries than receptions by receivers. So you look at all that, there are some really high-flying offenses. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs offense. You look at the Atlanta Falcons offense. Those guys are really, 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 you know, gonna be competition for a guy like Marquise Brown when you're talking about receiving yards. Julio Jones, you talk about Tyreek Hill, You know, I don't think Marquise Brown is going to lead the NFL in receiving yards. You know, look at touchdowns as well. I don't know how Julian Edelman's going to perform without Tom Brady there. But, I mean, I think for Baltimore, the receiving touchdowns, that number's not going to be very high, especially for the receivers. You might see Marquise Brown with another 7 scores, 8 scores. But I don't know if that necessarily means that for Baltimore, they're going to have to, you know, feed receivers touchdowns and get Marquise Brown touchdowns. Even if Antonio Brown signs, they're not going to feed him the football because he's Antonio Brown. They're not going to feed Marquise Brown the football because he's Marquise Brown. Touchdowns, I think, is a stat that can be overrated at times, but overall, I do believe that for Baltimore, no receiver is going to really touch the touchdown threshold for receivers. And then finally, let's talk about receptions. I mentioned Julian Edelman earlier. There are a lot of guys who are just PPR machines if you're talking about fantasy football. Edelman, Jarvis Landry, Cooper Kupp, just a few of those guys. But I don't think necessarily that Marquise Brown is going to do his talking with his receptions or with his touchdowns, his receiving yards. He's going to do it with that efficiency, high catch percentage, high target efficiency. You know, you could have a touchdown here or there, and then, you know, you say, oh, well, he's in the end zone, he's doing this, he's doing that. Well, yeah, but, you know, that's a little bit of just an opportunistic thing. Yeah, Marquise Brown was open in the end zone on a 5-yard slant, so we're going to throw it to him. What if Marquise Brown was open on a 5-yard slant at the Baltimore 20? It's the same thing. So I wouldn't necessarily read too much into the receiving yards, the touchdowns, the receptions. What we should be reading into is the efficiency of the Baltimore offense. How often are the Ravens throwing the football? How often does Marquise Brown catch his targets? How many of Marquise Brown's targets are catchable targets? So part of it falls on Marquise Brown, part of it falls on Lamar Jackson. But overall, I do believe that for Baltimore, Marquise Brown's going to have a phenomenal year, but maybe not in the stat category as much as people say. Now, I think he could go over 1,000 yards or get 10 scores, but again, I don't think he's going to be a league leader in any of those categories. Our next question comes from Dylan Leininger, and he asks, with starting quarterbacks getting hit by coronavirus recently, do you think any teams will make an offer for RG3? What do you think trade-wise it would take to get him, or with knowing the system, do the Ravens value him too much to trade at this point? And now this is a very, very good question because the whole landscape of the league has obviously changed with the coronavirus. We've seen Matthew Stafford go on the COVID list. And look, I'm sure there will be more quarterbacks to go on the COVID list once, you know, the season starts. It's not going to be a perfect scenario where nobody gets the virus. The NFL's not in a bubble here. We've seen the struggles the MLB has had with this. There will probably be some ups and downs with this NFL season. But let's talk about Robert Griffin III, like Dylan asked about. Robert Griffin III is somebody who I think is valuable to this Baltimore roster. I think his value has gone up with the coronavirus pandemic because you talk about Matthew Stafford hitting the COVID list. Well, what if Lamar Jackson gets the virus? What if the Ravens have to put Lamar Jackson on the COVID list and he can't play for 2 weeks or whatever the guidelines will say by that time? The guidelines might change as the virus either gets worse or gets better. Well, so let's say Lamar Jackson is out for 2 weeks with the coronavirus, right? Do you trust Trace McSorley? Do you trust Tyler Huntley to come in the game and win the Ravens football games? Do you trust those guys? Yeah, I'd say I'd maybe trust McSorley, but you have a proven veteran in Robert Griffin III. You have a guy who has been in this Ravens system for multiple years. He has been Lamar Jackson's mentor. He is probably the best backup in the league for Lamar Jackson. So overall, when you take a look at Robert Griffin III, I was a big advocate for maybe the Ravens trying to move on from Robert Griffin III for multiple reasons. One, hey, another fifth-round pick doesn't hurt Eric DaCosta. He turns those picks into magic. He does crazy things, and he turns them into gems. But when you look at Robert Griffin III, you could get an extra pick for him. But also, Robert Griffin III deserves to start on a team. You know, he says he's put it out there multiple times that he wants to be a starter in the NFL again. And I think he's worked very, very, very hard to come back and get a shot at that. You know, Baltimore obviously is not the place for him to come start. Lamar Jackson is entrenched in that position, and he knows that. So what do I think a team would have to give up for him? I think a fifth would do it. I do. I don't think they're getting anything more than a fifth. I don't think a fourth rounder's in the equation, a third rounder. I could see a sixth, you know, maybe conditional. So you look at it, the Ravens traded the Chris Wormley pick that they got in the trade to move up to get James Prochet. So they have their own fifth round pick. I think that's it. They traded one of the fifth round picks. I can't remember off the top of my head which one it was. But for Baltimore, they have a backup quarterback who could lead them to multiple wins while Lamar Jackson is out. And this goes for coronavirus. This goes for an injury. I still think if Lamar Jackson goes down week one, Robert Griffin III could lead this team to a wild card berth. I really do. I think Robert Griffin III has that talent. But with Robert Griffin III knowing this system and with the coronavirus being such a threat to strike on any given day, especially with the NFL not in a bubble, I think the Ravens might hold on to him. My answer has changed since the Super Bowl. I think back then when I was doing a season review, I definitely thought the Ravens would entertain offers, but now I'm not so sure because I don't think the Ravens want to trade him away, have the extra fifth round pick, but then Lamar Jackson goes down with an injury with coronavirus, and all of a sudden, you're forced into that situation to start Trace McSorley, who has one career carry and no career passes attempted at the NFL level. So I think overall, Baltimore values Robert Griffin III, but I think, you know, my answer has changed. I think that in February I would have said, yeah, go ahead, trade him. But now I think I'd rather the Ravens hold on to him. So I think the Ravens do value him too much to trade at this point. We're going to head into our first break here, but when we get back, we're going to be talking about Willie Sneed's interview with the Baltimore media. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. But before we do that, between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let the DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDON, that's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And we are back with our second segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about our fan mailbag, got into those questions, and we had some good questions. And I think that that covered a lot of the things that at least I was wondering. I thought about Robert Griffin III the other day, actually. I'm like, where's his place on this Ravens team? So I'm glad Dylan asked that question. And then Robertsby, of course, with his weekly contributions. I'm really glad that I have him around to ask me some questions here. So now we're going to get into our second segment. And that is Willie Sneed's interview with the Baltimore media. And both Willie Sneed and Hollywood Brown had some really nice things to say. We'll start off with Willie Sneed. That's our segment here. Willie Sneed said he dropped about 7 pounds this offseason. He worked out with his father a lot during the offseason. He said, I'm feeling faster, lighter. I haven't been this weight since my first year in the league. Now, Willie Sneed, I don't want to call him a disappointment in Ravens uniform because he hasn't been. I do think the Ravens expected more from him. Sneed's stats over his career in Baltimore, they've been okay. In his 2 years in a Ravens uniform, was utilized a lot more in 2018. Obviously, the first half of that year was Joe Flacco, so the ball was thrown a lot more. 62 receptions for 651 yards and a score. In 2019, though, 31 receptions for 339 yards and 5 scores. And actually, Willie Sneed's 2019 was much more efficient than his 2018. He scored more touchdowns. I know I just talked about touchdowns sometimes being an irrelevant stat, but it's not an irrelevant stat because you're in the end zone. So he scored 5 touchdowns compared to the one in 2018. Also, he averaged 0.4 more yards per catch than he did in 2018, 10.9 compared to 10.5. So the Ravens did utilize Sneed well in 2019, and I think he wants to be a bigger part of this offense, but I also think he knows that there's an influx of young talent on this team. You draft Evan Duvernay, you draft James Prochet, you have Hollywood Brown and Miles Boykin. Well, where does Sneed fit in? Sneed is a guy who's easily a very good third down target. He's somebody who will catch the football, did struggle with drops a bit and has struggled with them a bit, but still, he's a guy who can go up, catch a football, move the chains. That's what you want. Willie Sneed getting lighter actually really helps him from a football perspective. It's going to allow him to get out of his breaks faster, to run those routes faster. And he said he's feeling faster and lighter. The Ravens, I think, are going to prioritize speed among their receivers quite a bit in 2020. So having Sneed be part of that, I think, is really, really important. He also had some nice things to say about his teammate Marquise Brown. Willie Sneed said the first thing that the bulked up Marquise Brown said to him when he entered the facility was that he was going to block somebody this year. And Sneed said he looks like a totally different kid. So we're going to save most of the commentary on this comment for the third segment. But I do want to say, this Ravens receiving room, they know. They know they have to go out, they have to block people. Willie Sneed's been doing it. Marquise Brown tried to do it. Miles Boykin did it. Marquise Brown couldn't block people because he was so tiny. I mean, it was hard for him to get up in a corner's face who was significantly stronger and taller than him. right? Height doesn't really matter in this situation. It's about the heart. It's about the strength. Marquise Brown, he knows this offense. He knows that he's going to have to contribute both with his hands and with his blocking. And I think that that's really, really important. Snead has been blocking for this team. The reason the Ravens brought back Snead, in my opinion, is because he is a good blocker and they like his fit in this blocking scheme as a receiver. So I think that Snead is going to teach Marquise Brown a bit about the blocking game in this Ravens offense. And that will help both of them. But Snead also said that he talked to Lamar Jackson. And in talking to Jackson, he said that he's focused on getting better with the outside game in terms of his throws this offseason. And Snead said, quote, seeing him the last couple days, my guy's going to be primed and ready to go, end quote. A lot of nice praise here from Willie Snead to his teammates. And I mean, all of them really deserve it. They've worked really, really hard. We saw the year one to year two transformation from Lamar Jackson. Now, COVID's made it a bit difficult, but he still organized workouts in Florida. He still worked out with his team. He still worked out by himself. Right? The outside game is going to be really important for this Baltimore offense. It stretches the field out. It takes safeties away from the middle of the field. And also, when you have that outside game, it makes for a better rushing attack because teams have to worry about that. It makes defenders and defensive coordinators stay up at night. So for Baltimore, they have a really, really good offensive game plan now. And now that Jackson has added that to his repertoire, as if he wasn't a nightmare already, he's going to be even more of a nightmare in 2020 because his throws got a lot better in 2019. We all saw it. You know, you hear Lamar Jackson's a runner. Lamar Jackson can't throw. It's so old now. Snead has praised this man. Everybody has praised this man. But you still see the hate come in daily. So it's good to see some praise coming Lamar Jackson's way instead of some hate. But Snead also said the players need to realize with their decision-making in the climate that the season's on the line and they need to be responsible with their behavior. And I mean, I agree. You saw Patrick Queen, you know, kind of not complain, but kind of say, oh man, I didn't know about all these guidelines and stuff. And then Justin Tucker saying, if you stay out of the clubs in February, I'll go to the clubs with you when it's on me. So, I mean, look, hopefully this coronavirus situation, it gets resolved soon. Who knows if that's the case? It could get better. It could get worse. But the players, like we've seen with the Marlins in baseball, like we've seen with the Cardinals in baseball, their decisions don't just directly affect the Baltimore Ravens. It affects players' families. It affects coaches and their families. It affects other teams and their families, right? For example, the Orioles were supposed to play the Marlins, right? Then the Marlins get coronavirus and the Orioles can't play. That's exactly what would be happening in the NFL, but maybe even on a larger scale because you know, the Orioles, they could go and they could play the Yankees, right? That's what happened. In the NFL, it's a lot more difficult to do that because it's a once-a-week thing. And then you talk about division record, an AFC record. What are you going to do with that? So Snead is exactly right. And he also said, can you imagine a fall with no football at all? I can't. We'll make it right. We'll make it fun. I'm just looking forward to the whole football vibes again. And that's exactly right. When you look at it, football, it's back. But there's a chance it could be taken away. We've seen college football programs cancel. We've seen certain conferences in college football cancel. We've also seen certain conferences in college football say we're going to play a conference-only schedule, so we're not going to be traveling as much. The schedule will be reduced a bit. It's all about the comfort of the players, the comfort of the coaches, right? Players can opt out. Players have been opting out. The people who want to play football right now are playing football right now, but they also realize that their actions can affect that. And look, I can't imagine a fall with no football. I've grown up with football ever since I can remember. No football in the fall? I mean, it's tradition. So Snead understands and Snead knows that without football, the world changes. The sports landscape changes. So overall, I think these guys are going to end up being smart about it. You might see cases creep up. You know, you can't underestimate the fact that this virus is very contagious and can spread very, very quickly. But for Baltimore, I think their players are going to be under control. I think their players are going to be exactly where they need to be, and that is not going out. That is not risking getting the virus. That is not risking the players and the coaches and the executives, not risking anybody's life. Because when you have that virus, maybe somebody is actually pretty, you know, sensitive to it and actually has a pre-existing condition that they don't know about. There could be a case of a serious illness where somebody has to go to the hospital or go to intensive care. Maybe a player dies. It can get that serious. We've seen it get across the world. Hundreds of thousands of people have died from this virus. It's crazy to think that this is all going on right now, but football and everything, I think it's going to be back, and I think these Ravens players are going to be smart about what they do and the decisions they make. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we're going to be talking about Marquise Brown's interview with the Baltimore media, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. And we are back with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens episode. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, is still hanging out with you here. And we have a bit of breaking news here related to the show. We have a late entry on our mailbag, and that is by our man, Ben Walks. So if you're still listening and you want to figure out when I recorded this show, late, you can check when I recorded because it's an entry that we just got here right now. So Ben asks, other than the Chiefs, who do you see as the top-tier AFC team besides the Ravens? And this is a tough question because I feel like there are a lot of teams who could take this cake, but obviously the Chiefs are the team who are the biggest threat to the Baltimore Ravens right now in the AFC. It goes Baltimore 1 for me, Chiefs 2. Now, this is where it gets interesting because the Patriots, right, that would have been my choice for number 3, but there's no Tom Brady anymore. Everybody's opted out. So what are you going to do? I mean, I don't think the Patriots are going to be that great this year, but I mean, they still could be decently good. If I had to give a number 3 team in the AFC, I'm going to honestly go and say the Denver Broncos. And this is a pretty big sleeper pick for me, but I think the Broncos are going to be good this year. I think they're going to get a wild card spot. I think they're going to be the number 6 seed, but I think they're going to be playing much better than that. Obviously, in a division with the Kansas City Chiefs, you're not going to win the West. But the Broncos loaded up this offense. And obviously, this all depends on Drew Lock. And I know the Broncos are not a very popular pick for next best team in the AFC after the Ravens, but I gotta be a little controversial sometimes, don't I? When you look at the Broncos offense, it's all gonna depend on what Drew Lock does. The success of the Broncos team depends on what Drew Lock does. They signed Melvin Gordon in the offseason. They draft Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. They have Noah Fant, a stud at tight end, plus Albert O from Missouri. The offensive line, they did have Juwan James opt out, but it looks solid. Not spectacular, but solid. On the defensive side of the ball, they got Jarrell Casey, a perennial defensive line talent, for a 7th-round pick. Von Miller's coming back. They're in a good spot in their defensive back room with Bryce Callahan and Kareem Jackson and all these other good players that I think are going to contribute really, really well for them. And I think that this Broncos team is very well-rounded. So honestly, I think it's going to be the Denver Broncos who are going to be the number 3 team in the AFC. You kind of see it like how the Chiefs and Chargers were a few years ago in 2018, where they were both really good, but the Chargers get the 5 seed because you can't be the number 1 or the number 3 or whatever if you finish 2nd in the AFC West. So, I mean, I think it's going to be the Denver Broncos, so a little bit of a sleeper pick there for me. But then let's now get into Marquise Brown's interview. We're going to talk about Marquise Brown's interview. That's what I said we were going to do here on this third segment, so let's do it. Marquise Brown said, I took the time out to address every part of my body to make sure I was going into the year right. He had the Ravens send them a GPS tracker to make sure while he was gaining weight, he wasn't losing speed. I mean, Marquise Brown did literally everything in his power to become a better football player heading into the 2020 season. Literally getting his body right, understanding the playbook more, becoming a smarter football player, becoming better and better and better. And that's what the Ravens needed. They needed that out of this guy because he pulled so many tricks out of his bag, being only 70% healthy. Speed, hands, toe tapping, right? All this different stuff from Marquise Brown that personally, I think, is even going to be more improved in 2020. He was getting stronger in the weight room, but not losing that speed. He said that he feels like he has bright days ahead. He feels 100 times better than he did last year. He has to focus on plays and focus on the stuff that I'm supposed to be focused on. This Ravens team is a general whole, is locked in and ready to go. They know that their window is now. They know that they have the league MVP on a rookie contract and all these other guys on rookie contracts. They know that the time is now to make a run. And I think they will. I still think they will make a run. Now, it's going to be hard because you have teams like the Chiefs and the Broncos and the Bills, and maybe the Patriots are good, and maybe you have teams like the Texans come out and perform really well. But I don't know. I think this Baltimore team is really, really poised for a Super Bowl run. And I think overall, you look at it, and there's a lot to like about Marquise Brown. He said he's up to 180 pounds. That's about 20 more pounds than he played at for much of last year. Every single pound, literally every single pound, is going to help. He said that he played at about 170, 173 at Oklahoma, so it won't be a huge adjustment for him. Just 10 pounds more. It's not like he's adding that in slow weight. He's adding that in muscle and speed. But he also said, when talking about his cousin Antonio Brown, that Antonio would fit well with the Ravens in their locker room. He said Antonio Brown's one of those guys who brings out the best in you. He also said that he learned a lot from Antonio Brown on how to take care of his body. Look, we've talked about it with Matt, and unfortunately we're probably going to talk about it with him again tomorrow, and he's going to be really mad. But when we look at it, Antonio Brown is a talented football player. There's no way around it. But you look at the off-the-field stuff, do the Ravens want to prioritize that? Do the Ravens want to tear down that culture that they've built over the years to sign a guy who might ruin that culture? He could be really good for the culture. The culture might be really good for him as well. So who knows? But Antonio Brown, you know, he's a good football player. Marquise Brown has learned a lot from him, and that's a good thing. He should be utilizing his cousin because his cousin is a good receiver in the league, and he wants to bring all those skills to the table as well. So with Antonio Brown, I do believe that he's going to be a better player because of the time that he did have with his cousin. And finally, when talking about Lamar Jackson, Marquise Brown said, "I feel like he's more hungry." That's his number one goal. He wants to win the Super Bowl, and he wants to win more than one. Lamar Jackson is all about the winning. You can't say Lamar Jackson without saying he wants to win. But it's not just that he wants to win for himself. He doesn't want the accolades. He doesn't want the Super Bowl MVP. He doesn't want the car. He doesn't want the trip to Disney World. He wants it for his teammates. He wants to go to war with these guys. He wants to be able to go out there, produce on the field, and have fun with his teammates. And that's something you don't see very often. Now, I'm not saying every other quarterback in the league is selfish and only wants it for themselves. But Lamar Jackson is a guy you can see is so selfless. Someone who wants to do things for other people. Someone who doesn't want to have the attention focused on himself. And he said this before, that he has a chip on his shoulder until he wins a chip. He's hungry. He wants to silence the doubters. He wants everybody to respect him. And that's all stuff for him, right? But it's also stuff for his teammates. His team gets disrespected. He gets disrespected. Everybody on the Baltimore, you know, offense gets disrespected. Baltimore defense gets disrespected. They put the league on notice, don't get me wrong. You know, there's a lot more respect to go around on this Baltimore team than there was a few years ago. But Lamar Jackson wants to win this Super Bowl for his teammates, and Marquise Brown, they're friends. They're really good friends. And Marquise Brown wants to win a Super Bowl, and Lamar Jackson wants to win a Super Bowl, and everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. But it's all for each other. That's why the culture in Baltimore is so good. It's all for each other. And that's really why I think the Ravens are in it to win it this year, next year, you know, all the years of Lamar Jackson in a Raven uniform. Because you look at it, Lamar Jackson is hungry. Marquise Brown is hungry. That hunger, it sits with you and you can't do anything because it's the off season. Once that season hits, you're full speed ahead. The playoffs hit, it's a different atmosphere, but you're full speed ahead. So for Baltimore, they have a lot to look forward to, and I think that these two are going to be a dynamic duo in 2020 and beyond. That's all I have for you guys today. When we get back tomorrow, it's more Ravens talk from us, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.